glad you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you. We're glad you're here.
Welcome to Mark and Friends. I'm your host, Donna Leland. When you hear the word rest, does it seem unattainable? Maybe your busy life just doesn't have a place for rest. Today we're talking with Samantha Decker, who wants to help us enter into a more restful life. Welcome, Samantha, to Mark and Friends.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Love the name of this book and everything about it. Just really hit home with me. It's called Unhurried, An Invitation to Slow Down, Create Margin, and Surrender Control to God. I love all those concepts. Now, you share your pursuit was of a slower paced life. You found God calling you into that. Tell us how that eventually led to your book.
So really, the Lord got my attention in the most mundane of ways, which I love that he does that sometimes. But there was just this conversation I had with my neighbor when she said, I just don't know how you do it all. And there was something about that where I was like, I'm doing it all. I'm doing all of these things. I'm trying to be a good mom and serving at my church and working full time and, you know, managing the household. And yet there was all of these things that just weren't productive. It was like I was just, I think I say in my book, an octopus with roller skates on. That's an illustration from Ben Stewart. It's like you're busy doing all these things, but not going anywhere. And the Lord used a verse from Haggai. It's actually chapter 1, verses 5 and 6, where he says, give careful thought to your ways. And he talks about the people, the Israelites at the time, were planting a whole lot of things and not harvesting much and putting on clothes, but they weren't warm and they were earning money and it was all falling away. And that's what I heard the Lord say. That's what your life is like. You need to slow down. And so that's when I really started to pursue him and figure out what does it look like to live unhurried and to pursue a more restful life.
You talk about margin. That's a maybe unfamiliar term to our listeners. So what is margin? Why is that important when it comes to following Jesus?
If you look at the definition, it really is just a spare amount of time or a measure or a degree given for contingencies, which you're like, what does that mean? And what it means is it's time that we intentionally set aside for the Lord in this case. So when you look at your day, I would say, where are you creating time in it for the Lord to speak to you, to meet with you, to equip you for what he has for you each day? So that may look like, you know, little time each morning, you know, actually digging into the Word of God and spending some time in prayer and saying, God, what do you have? Or it could be in the chaos of the day, right? It could be the lunchroom at work where you need 5 minutes to say, God, who around me can I have a spiritual conversation with? Or is there someone that you need me to minister today to? Or it could be in the car with your kids yelling in the background. That's what mine is a lot, you know, where you're asking God, God, how can I serve them today? How can I meet with you today? It's really taking small moments of time to be intentional to seek the Lord.
That's good. That's a great illustration. I know for me, you know, setting margin is letting the Lord interrupt my day. You know, I get my little plan going and I commit myself to so many activities that there really isn't any room for any disruption. There's no room for car trouble. There's no room for, you know, a phone call from someone who might be in distress, who just got the diagnosis. So I just try to, in my brain these days, just say, you know, Lord, if my day doesn't go according to my plan, if you want to interrupt it with somebody coming to the house and having a need or just wanting to have a conversation, I want to be open to that. I'm working on that. Samantha, how do we work on wanting to be a little bit more flexible?
It's a great question, because when we have our plans, if you're like me or any of your listeners are hearing this and thinking, it's hard to detour from my plans,
It
right?
is,
I
yeah.
have X, Y, and Z I want to get done. And when there are things that keep you from getting X, Y, and Z done, it's hard. But if you look at scripture, we see that Jesus especially welcomed those interruptions. You know, I'm thinking about he'd be on the road and, you know, think about the women at the well. He stopped at the well to meet the women. He went out of his way to meet the woman. And yet so many times we aren't willing to stop. So I think one of the things that we can do to start helping our minds and our thoughts to be more in tune with his is to slow down and is to keep that eternal perspective. There's a verse in Colossians that talks about setting your mind on things that are above and not on things that are on earth. And so we have to know who he is, and we have to know the work that he is doing so we can join him and be a part of that. But it requires us slowing and holding our days with open hands.
You know, I find myself when we had, you know, children in the home right now, we're in that retired zone. So we have a bit more energy and time. But I know when I was raising the kids and being involved in church and the little bit of radio work that I did, I just felt like my identity was way too much into what I could produce. You know, I had to produce good kids. I had to, you know, do a lot of stuff at church, and I had to sound, you know, so I know I was caught up in that. And you say in your book, control and hurry are two sides of the same word. Could you expand on that idea for us?
Yes. So when you think about control and you think about hurry, really both of those ultimately kind of reveal this lack of trust in the sovereignty and the faithfulness of God. They take on this mindset that's really selfish at its heart that says my agenda, my plans, my desires are more important than God's eternal work, which is a lie, right?
Yeah.
But what do? We have to surrender to Christ's lordship over our life, his sovereignty over all things. So that means we accept the changes to our plans. We recognize it's not about production, right? It's not about producing, like you said. It's about working in a way that is glorifying to the Lord and trusting him with the rest because he is sovereign.
I just felt like, you know, I was so caught up in my identity, being in what I did, and there was just no room for rest because I was trying to get all that affirmation and that significance, you know, from what I was doing. And that really is antithetical to the word abide. What does abiding have to do with living unhurried?
Yes, I love the word abide. And I think it's something we want to love, but it's hard for us to practice. Because what it is really abiding is just to remain, to be held, to be kept continually. So I love to picture, I know you mentioned your kids are older and out of the house. I still have little ones in the home. And when I think about abiding, I think about holding my newborn babies, you know, in the middle of the night, in the quiet, just holding them, knowing, you know, sleep will come eventually. There will be a season when I'm not tired. It's not now, but these moments are to be precious and cherished. And so it's this decision to remain so in tune with the Spirit, to be held by him so deeply and cherished so well that everything else pales in comparison. So when we abide with the Lord, I think it helps us to reorient our days. It helps us to bear fruit, to remove some of those self-righteous agendas or plans that we desire to control. And kind of what we talked about, it helps us to, again, submit and worry less about what it is we're producing and more how we're living in a way to give glory to the Lord.
I think that's it right there. You know, finding my righteousness, my okayness, my significance in him, just in our relationship. You know, honestly, we don't have to do anything. other than place our trust and faith in Jesus. And we're right. We're right with God. Now, of course, we're not just going to sit in our lazy boy all day long and just think about that. So the Holy Spirit's going to energize us to get up and start loving people in our world. And but we don't have to search for that significance anymore. And that's, to me, the peace that he has given me in my own world. It's like, yeah, I'm good to go. I'm in him. He's in me. And we've got that relationship. By the way, there are roosters going off. Can you hear those?
I do hear them, yes.
Okay, I just didn't want that to distract our conversation. I cannot get them to be quiet. They will not comply. So I'm so sorry there are roosters going off in the background. But, you know, that's just life. And
you know, it's interruptions to the plan, and we'll just trust the Lord with that too, right?
Absolutely, right. I mean, they're having a good time, so we can have a good time still too. Well, we're talking with Samantha Decker all about living an unhurried life, abiding and resting and creating margins and all that that can do to really improve our life. Now, see, that's so antithetical as well. Resting, we see that as being unproductive, inactive, not doing anything. But actually, I am probably more productive for eternity now that I am resting in the Lord. Isn't that fun? That's such a neat contradiction.
Yes, I think you said that so well, because it is a contradiction. You know, the world tells us, hurry, strive, do more, be more productive, right? If you are sitting, you are wasting time. And that is not what God says. You know, he says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. He modeled rest for us. If you look at creation, look at the very beginning at Genesis 1, and you know, he worked for 6 days and then he rested. I don't think he needed to rest, but I think he did that to model for us what it is to slow and to know that there is a time when we can say, I have done enough. And so that's something that the Lord has challenged me with too, of each day recognizing when the work is done. You know, and that doesn't mean that there aren't still things to do. My laundry room would scream that there's still more work to be done. But God sometimes says, it is enough. Let that be enough, and know that resting and abiding in him and creating that margin to be with him is what is more important eternally than the loads of laundry or the work emails or, you know, the even housework or things that may need to be done that you might feel is more important in the moment.
I know. I work to rest. You know, I work to try to get all my stuff done so that I can sit down. But actually, in the kingdom, it's opposite. We are at rest, therefore we work. So it's such a neat, different way of thinking, like, you know, coming at this with rest. I'm resting in the truth that I'm okay with God, that I'm good to go. So now I don't have to do all those things that I think is going to make me good with God, because I am. So now I'm free. Take all that energy, my friend, that you're pouring into trying to get okay with God, and just say, you know, he did it. Let me enjoy that. That really is the Sabbath rest that we can take in our world all week long. Every day is a Sabbath rest because he did it. Now we enjoy it. Yeah, in our busyness, we're enjoying being okay with God. Even though you encourage your readers to slow down, you explain that there's also a time to hurry. What are some good biblically based reasons for hurry?
This is such a fun kind of idea and concept to dig into, because the Lord called me to slow down. And so I start looking in scripture of, okay, there's all these reasons to slow and to find rest. But then I started seeing there are times God tells people to hurry. And some of those reasons are to share the gospel, right? We're not guaranteed tomorrow. And so there are times when he's like, today is the day of your salvation. So we need to be intentional and hurried, really, to share with those around us and to love on them the way that Christ has loved us. So that's one reason I think that we need to hurry. Another reason we need to be quick is to right a wrong. If the Lord convicts, Or if we know there's something that needs to be made right, don't wait. We see that modeled in scripture. There's a story of Abigail and David and her wicked husband Nabal, and Abigail hurries to right his wrong. And because of her actions, it really saves a lot of people. It saves a lot of bloodshed, and it causes this series of events where eventually she ends up marrying David, and it's this really fun story. But we see that there is importance to make things right where we can, right? Apologize, to repent, and to do what we can. And then I think that there are other examples in scripture, but those are two of the biggest ones.
That's great. You know, when you were talking about that verse, be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. So there are some, speed indicators put on some of God's admonitions. You do offer some practical steps for creating a schedule that will make room. What are some of the things our listeners, readers can do to start practicing that today?
So I think with this, my heart is that no matter what season you're in, that we can actually put these ideas into practice. So whether you work full time or you stay at home or you're somewhere in between where, maybe you're picking up odd jobs here and there or working part time or whatever that may look like, there is a way within your day to create margin and to rest within that. And so in the book, I kind of unpack those areas and say that in each one of those, you can know maybe some challenges to that type of season. And then you can use what your schedule looks like, or even your lack of schedule, for the glory of God. So, for example, if you are in a season where you're working full time, maybe you have very rigid hours. So, okay, I'm going to leave the house at 7 a.m. every morning. Well, could you use your commute to listen to the word of God? Or could you use your lunch break to intentionally pray for your coworkers? Could you use your time home, to intentionally invest in your children or your neighbors or your spouse? And then on the other hand, maybe you are in a season where you're not working or staying home or retired. Could you use your flexibility to have more margin and intentionality in your day? Could you use discernment to know what to say yes to and what to say no to? It's this idea of no matter what your day looks like, the Lord is at work and He wants you to join Him. But you have to have eyes to see that. And that means you have to slow your mind and your day down enough to say, God, what are you doing? What do you want me to join you in today? So I hope that really that's my goal with that kind of idea section and creating a schedule, is to know how to meet God and where God can meet you in your day.
I found myself in different seasons just saying yes to everything. Just because someone thought I could do something, I would say yes to it. And so I was, kind of happy that they thought I could possibly fill that need, but I didn't really ask the Lord whether or not I should be filling that need. Maybe that was for someone else to do. And then I'd get into these things that I committed to and realize I have no passion for this. I have no energy for this, and it's actually taking me away from all the other things that I think the Lord would have me do. So I'm learning, just because someone thinks that you'd be good at something does not mean that we have to do that. And I'm just learning how to ask the Lord, to really get me under control of what I say yes to. And yeah, that's just kind of where I'm at in this season. Although for me, I don't know about you, Samantha, but I have to have some fun things on the horizon, right? To be planning for, to get me up in the morning, especially in this slower season of life. So, but it's been good, and the Lord gives the resources and energy. So I feel like I'm in a better, place as far as trusting in Him. Now, what happens when we pick up the hurry again? We've gotten into an abiding and we're just going to trust the Lord, but then we say yes to something or it just feels that hurried. What are some encouraging words for those of us who want to live in this unhurried way?
is such a good question because I think hurry is one of those things that we will probably battle our whole lives, right? And that's where grace comes in, right? It's saying we need to know that there is grace for that too. And so when we start to hurry again, what the Lord has taught me is that we go back to the basics. We start again, little by little, we consider our ways, right? Just like it said in Haggai. And so it's going back to each day, each minute, dying to self. We lay down our selfish motives, our agendas, our desires. We listen to the Spirit's promptings. And then when He speaks, we say, "Yes, Lord." And that might be, like you kind of said, saying no to something. Maybe we know that isn't necessarily our spiritual gift, but it's, our friend Susie. Could Susie do this? And actually, by saying no, we're giving her an opportunity to step into something that God has gifted her with and called her to. But I think there's no condemnation in Christ, right? So we have to know that the Lord forgives our hurry too. So we take it back to Him, we repent, but we know that grace covers that too. So I my prayer is that this doesn't feel overwhelming or feel unattainable. Instead, it's a challenge and an opportunity to look at each day with an eternal set of eyes, saying, "God, what do you want me to do today? How can I choose your purposes over my plans?"
That's such a beautiful way to end our conversation today. We've been enjoying a conversation with Samantha Decker, and she has just written Unhurried, an invitation to slow down, create margin, and surrender control to God. Thank you so much, Samantha, for investing in us today and spending some of your unhurried time on this conversation.
Yes, thank you so much for having me. It was so fun.
And thank you, dear listener, for being a part of Mark and Friends. Don't forget, you can always listen to past programs of Mark and Friends in a convenient MP3 format. Mark and Friends is a ministry of Great News Media. Hope you have a great day and the Lord bless you in your unhurried way.